Today we're tuning an Amen style call and response riff in Ableton Live 12 for that jungle, old school DNB energy. And the big idea here is simple. We're not writing a melody that sits on top of the beat. We're building a mid-range hook that feels like it belongs inside the break and the sub, like it's part of the record's DNA. That matters because DNB needs repetition, but it cannot feel static. A good call and response riff gives you identity, tension, and movement all at once. It answers itself across the bar. It leaves space for the snare, and it keeps the sub in charge of the bottom end. If the riff is tuned right, it sounds dangerous, intentional, and a little bit sample-like. If it's tuned wrong, it just feels pasted on. So start where the track actually lives, the drums and the sub. Don't build this on a blank grid. Loop your actual break and sub first, even if it's only two bars. Make sure the snare is already reading clearly and the low end is already doing its job. The riff is not the song. It's the mid-range reply to the rhythm section. What you want to listen for here is whether the break has enough room to speak. If the drums already feel crowded, fix that first. Because a perfectly tuned riff on top of a weak groove still won't feel right. Now build a skeleton, not a full melody. Think in a two-bar phrase with a call and a response. Keep it brutally simple at first. 1 to 3 notes per idea is plenty. For example, your call might be root to minor third and then a rest. Your response might be a fourth into a flatter color note, or a short-held note that falls at the end. That kind of shape instantly feels more like jungle than a generic lead line. Why this works in DNB is because the phrase is reacting to the break, not just sitting on the bar line. In a lot of old-school jungle, the answer lands after the snare, not on top of it. That tiny offset is a huge part of the bounce. At this stage, decide whether you want a more sampled, raw feel or something a bit smoother and more musical. If you want that rough old-school tension, keep the notes short, leave more gaps, and don't over-explain the harmony. If you want a roller-style emotional read, you can let the notes breathe a little longer and make the resolution clearer. Both can work, but the first one is more immediately dangerous. Now tune the riff against the sub, not just against the key. That's a really important distinction. Put the riff and sub together in the loop and transpose the MIDI until the accents feel like they belong in the same low-end world. If your root is D, for example, you might test F for a minor third color, G for a fourth, or C for that flat 7 jungle flavor. You're not just asking, is this in key? You're asking, does this sound like the bass line underneath it actually supports this phrase? What to listen for is whether the riff feels inside the low-end harmony, or whether it's just hovering awkwardly on top of it. If it starts sounding too sweet, too polished, or too happy, move one note down a semitone or make the phrase ending a little less resolved. In jungle, a little uncertainty can sound much darker than a big obvious chord. Next, shape the rhythm against the break. Don't quantize everything perfectly on the grid. That's one of the fastest ways to kill the swing. Nudge the note start so the phrase breathes with the drums. A slightly late response can feel smoky and laid back. A slightly early pickup can create urgency into the snare. Even 5 to 15 milliseconds can make a massive difference. What to listen for here is whether the riff feels like it's reacting to the break, or marching beside it. You want it to feel like part of the percussion language. If the timing feels wrong already, stop and fix that before you reach for effects. That is always the faster move. Now you need to choose your source. Do you want a synth stab or a chopped audio phrase? If you're going synth, stock devices like Waveitable or Operator are perfect. Keep the waveform basic, keep the envelope tight, and let the sound be short and punchy. A fast attack, short decay, and little or no sustain will get you that stab energy quickly. A modest low-pass filter movement can help the attack bite, while the tail darkens into a more sampled feel. If you're going the audio route, resample the phrase and treat it like a performance. That often gives you the more authentic jungle character because the edges are imperfect in a good way. You can chop the audio, trim the tails, and make it feel like a real sampled hook rather than a clean synth patch. For old-school authenticity, audio often wins. For precision and easy transposition, MIDI is the cleaner path. Either way, the tone shaping needs to stay focused. You're not trying to make the riff huge in every direction. You're trying to make it sit like a hard-edged musical object inside a busy break. A good stock device chain might be saturator first for a little bite, then an auto filter to take the gloss off, then EQA to carve space. If the source is too wide, narrow it. If it's crowding the kick and snare, high-pass it. If it's getting boxy, ease out some 200 to 500 Hz. If it's too sharp, a small dip around 3 to 5 kHz can help before you add more drive. And this is a good place for another listening check. What to listen for is whether the snare still feels like the loudest event in the phrase. If the riff starts stealing that role, it's doing too much. In Jungle and DNB, the snare is the punctuation mark. The riff should support that, not compete with it. Once the basic sound is working, let the riff answer the arrangement. A real drop is never just a perfect loop repeating forever. Even a tiny bit of automation can make the second response feel alive. Open the filter a touch on the second pass. Add a little more drive at the end of the phrase. Increase the feedback for a moment before a fill. Change velocity in the response notes if it's MIDI. Small moves go a long way here. A really strong trick is to keep the first pass raw and sparse, then make the second pass slightly more open or slightly more degraded. Maybe the response comes up an octave. Maybe one call hit gets removed so the drums breathe. Maybe the last note stretches a little longer. That kind of evolution makes the riff feel like it belongs to the arrangement instead of just looping in place. Now check everything in context. No soloing. Full drop, drums, sub, riff together. This is the moment that matters. If the riff sounds sick on its own but collapses when the break and sub come in, it's not tuned correctly for the style yet. What to listen for is whether the sub still owns the bottom octave, whether the snare still reads as the anchor, and whether the riff occupies a clear lane in the midrange. If it masks the snare, shorten the release and cut some low mids. If it steals the sub's authority, raise the riff out of that zone or high pass it more aggressively. If the groove feels crowded, remove a note rather than compressing the whole thing flatter. Here's a pro move that really helps. Once the phrase is working, print a rough audio version and keep the MIDI version too. That way you can keep shaping the pitch and phrase in MIDI, but also work with the audio like a sample. Then you can trim tails tighter, create tiny gaps, reverse a hit if you want, or resample the processed version for even more grime. That hardens the decision-making and often gets you closer to a believable old-school result. If you want extra menace, don't just add more distortion. Remove certainty. A slightly unresolved response note can sound darker than more drive. Landing on the 4th or flat 7 at the end of a phrase can be more threatening than a clean root resolution. In Jungle, the tension often comes from what you leave hanging. You can also use negative space as part of the riff. Sometimes the strongest move is to remove the first hit of bar 2 or bar 4 so the phrase seems to lean away from the snare. That missing note becomes part of the groove. Another strong option is to keep the call short and to make the response just a little different in register or length. The contrast is what makes it readable. And remember this, if you find yourself adding more notes, stop and try removing one first. Seriously, in old school style DNB, the strongest version is often the one that leaves the most air around the break. The riff should feel dangerous when looped, not more obvious. So for your practice run, keep it tight. Build a two-bar call and response using only a few notes. Stay out of the sub's main octave. Leave at least one rest between the call and the response. Use just one saturation stage and one EQ stage. Then automate one small change for the second bar or second pass. Maybe a filter opening, maybe a tiny gain lift, maybe a slight decay change. If you choose the audio route, print it once and work with the bounce. And as you test it, ask yourself three things. Can I still hear the snare clearly? Does the phrase really read as a call and a response? And if I mute the bass, does this still feel like a jungle phrase or just a random synth line? That's the whole game here. Tune the riff against the sub, not in isolation. Make it answer the break, not sit on top of it. Keep it short, contrasted, and slightly imperfect in a controlled way. Use Ableton stock tools to carve space, control the low end, and automate just enough movement to make the second pass feel earned. If it locks with the drums, leaves the sub in command, and has that sample-like old rave tension, you've got it. Now go build the 2-bar version first, then push it into the 4-bar challenge and make that second pass evolve without losing its identity. That's where the real jungle personality starts to show.